Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites onthisday.com and classicfm.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1954 that Elvis Presley did what? Was it A, was drafted into the Army, B, recorded his hit Hound Dog, C, inhaled a cap on one of his teeth, or D, crashed his pink Cadillac, or E, all of the above? So what did Elvis do today back in 1954? And question number two, which of the following theories have proved helpful in explaining why Stradivarius violins are so good? Is it A, reduced solar activity in the 17th century, B, the size of the F holes on the front of these violins, C, imperfections in the varnish, D, all of the above, or E, none of the above? So which factors help explain the superior sound of the Stradivarius violin? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of May the 13th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1567 that composer Claudio Giovanni Antonio Monteverdi was born. Monteverdi's work, often regarded as revolutionary, marked the change from the Renaissance style of music to that of the Baroque period. This Italian composer is noted as the most important developer of the then-new genre, the opera. He also did much to bring a modern secular spirit into church music. Monteverdi's 1967 B-Day today. And it was 38 years ago today, 1984, that The Fantastics became the longest-running musical in theater history with performance number 10,000. The show opened on May 3rd, 1960. The Fantastics' record-setting performance, 1984, today. Miranda Lambert's Platinum introduces our country music news. It's entitled, Miranda Lambert on Writing Sad Songs. You don't have to be tortured to be good. This is published in CBSNews.com on the 29th of April, 2022. Country superstar Miranda Lambert is the head of an empire that includes music, a Nashville restaurant, a Western wear clothing line, and more. She talks about her businesses, her marriage, and the release of her eighth solo album, Palomino. in a revealing interview with correspondent Lee Cowan for CBS Sunday Morning, broadcast May the 1st on CBS and streamed on Paramount Plus. Lambert first made her mark with her 2005 studio album, Kerosene, and has been one of country music's biggest stars ever since. In the past 2 months, she was named the Entertainer of the Year at the Academy of Country Music Awards, and then won the Female Video of the Year honor at the CMT Awards. Her music and her career have changed over time, she said. Ever since I started out, I was just a little left of center always, like of whatever was kind of popular at the time, she said. I had my own style, and sometimes it didn't fit in that lane that was the fast track a little bit. And I think it made my road longer at certain times in my career. Lambert said that each time she writes a song, she tries to make it better than the last one. She also admits that when she started out, her music had an energy and feistiness which has also been tuned. And I still have all of that, clearly, but I just don't have to be as loud about it and do it as often, you know, she said. Lambert is the first female country singer to open a celebrity restaurant on Lower Broadway in Nashville. She's also created her own brand of Western wear called Idlewind, named after her first horse. Lambert also talks with Cowan about her marriage to former New York Police Department officer Brendan McLaughlin, who caught everyone by surprise when it happened. It's like some kind of Hallmark movie or something, Lambert said, like this redneck from Texas meets this, like, beautiful NYPD officer on the street in New York. But it actually happened that way. McLaughlin inspired her 2019 hit, Settling Down, and he was featured in the video. It was a beautiful moment to share with my husband, she said. Sometimes artists live in darkness and use it for their art or whatever. But, you know, you don't have to be tortured to be good. Like, you can write a sad song and not have to live every sad song you ever write, you know. It's an impossible way to live. As for Lambert, she said she has changed, too. I've also grown, and I've learned a lot about myself, she told Cowan. I think at some point you just start to settle into who you are. I think that's why you feel that, like, peace coming from me, 'cause I feel at peace with myself. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled, Australian Water Tank Turned Sound Chapel Brings 24-Hour Classical Music to the Outback. This is published in ClassicFM.com, 5 May 2022, by Sophia Alexandra Hall. A sound chapel brings string quartet music to the Australian Outback. Just outside the small town of Cobar in New South Wales, Australia, sits the rusted shell of a water tank on a terrain of arid and rocky ground. Cobar and the surrounding area has suffered from a lack of reliable water supply since the town was established in 1870, so while the water tank's supposed presence isn't unusual, its contents are. While most would expect to find water inside the structure, or perhaps an empty tank in need of a refill, those who happen on the 10-meter-high structure, just 1.5 kilometers outside of Cobar Center, are instead met with a flurry of music notes. This year, the water tank was reborn as a sound installation. Launched on 2 April and christened the Cobar Sound Chapel, the cylindrical shell holds a secret walk-in venue which hosts a 24-hour classical music experience in the middle of the Australian outback. The water container's transformation from tank to theater has been 2 decades in the making. The structure's musical metamorphosis was dreamed up by Luxembourg-born composer Georges Lentz, 56, who has been living in Sydney, Australia since the 1990s. Lentz's exposure to the Australian outback and its infinite, expansive sky steered his inspiration to create the monumental work, String Quartets, the 372-minute 24-hour long piece is scored for digital string quartet, and Lentz dreamed of finding a venue within the outback, the landscape which inspired the work, that could house his lengthy creation. Although the outer shell is cylindrical, the interior creation is a cube room made out of corrugated iron impressed formwork. The chapel is solar-powered, which keeps the 4 speakers on each wall of the cubed interior playing the music 24 hours a day. Lentz describes the acoustic as intimate, with just the right amount of reverb. A hard bench sits in the middle of the room where travelers can rest and enjoy the music. On hot days, the inside of the sound chapel is 10 degrees cooler than the outside, making it a welcome shelter both artistically and practically. The land where the building sits is part of the traditional territory of an Australian Aboriginal group, which stretches over some 27,000 square miles. The programming highlights the journey of string quartet music across history, starting with Haydn, and then segueing into the start of Lentz's new composition, which now plays continuously in Sound Chapel. The Cobar Sound Chapel is not completely sealed, which means that this musical world can escape into the arid landscape surrounding the water tank shell. Its sounds will hopefully call travelers to visit and experience classical music in unexpected places. The Canadian Brass introduce our music research and technology. It's entitled Musician Invents Trombone That Shoots Flames. This is written by Jesse Wilson, published in happymag.tv on the 11th of August, 2021. 30-year-old trombonist Valentin Guérin has invented the pyro trombone. Yep, that's a trombone that shoots flames, and it's magnificent. We all remember that kid who wanted to light everything on fire? Well, Valentin Guérin is one of those kids, and the man has invented a pyro trombone. French creative Valentin Guérin observed that, quote-unquote, the public dislikes trombone concerts, and as such took it upon himself to make them more interesting. Hence, he decided trombones should shoot flames. Guérin invented the pyro trombone himself and owns the patent, but there's still room for a pyro flute if anyone feels the urge to make one. One thing's for sure, Guérin certainly made the trombone a lot hotter. There's nothing like a good horn section, and with brass making a comeback, we can only hope other bands adopt flaming instruments. Guérin, an accompanying pianist, endeavored to play the entire fantastic polka composition by Arthur Pryor. The arrangement goes for 7 minutes, and it's a miracle nothing catches fire. Guérin is no amateur hack musician. He is well-traveled and well-studied. The pyro trombone inventor is also a graduate from the Conservatorium of Regional Paris, has a double master in pedagogy and interpretation from Denmark, and a soloist diploma from the University of Texas in Austin. You can head over to his Instagram page for plenty of fiery photos and short clips from an outdoor concert, seemingly for the sole purpose of showing off this invention. So go to YouTube.com for videos of this pyrotrombone in action as it shoots fireworks, and check out ClassicFM.com for updated articles about this instrument, the pyrotrombone, and its inventor.
Elizabeth Cotton wrote this song in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, back around 1905, and she set her guitar and her music aside for about 40 years while she raised her family. And then she came to work for our family in Maryland. And she gradually took the guitar back up, and it was about 5 or 6 years in our house before we found out she could even pick the banjo or guitar, which she does left-handed. So shortly after that, I made a recording of her for Folkways Records. And we started going out and doing concerts together, and now she's 92 years old and still playing the song that she wrote back in 1905. It's a song called Freight Train. I'd love to have you all sing along with me on it, if you would.
Mike Seeger introduces our local music news. It's entitled, North Carolina Native Cotton to Be Posthumously Inducted into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. This is written by Corey Dean, News and Observer, 8th of May, 2022. Elizabeth Cotton, who was born and raised in the area of Chapel Hill, now known as Carrboro, is being posthumously inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as part of the 2022 class, the organization announced Wednesday. Cotton, who was born in 1893 and is also known as Liba, will receive the Hall of Fame's Early Influence Award, which honors artists whose music and performance style have directly influenced, inspired, and evolved rock and roll and music impacting youth culture. Cotton was a folk and blues musician, perhaps best known for her timeless folk song, Freight Train, which she composed and wrote as a 12-year-old, inspired by the trains that would pass by her childhood home in Carrboro. Her songs have been performed by music greats, including Joan Baez, Bob Dylan, The Grateful Dead, and Peter, Paul, and Mary, among others.
No more good times here I crave. Places gone at my head, and eat till them all that I.
As a whole, Cotton's music brings together strains of oral traditions, church singing, ragtime, popular songs, and music played by traveling and local musicians, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame said in their biography of Cotton. Cotton taught herself to play banjo and guitar at an early age, first borrowing her brother's instruments when he was away from home, before saving up $3.75 to buy her own guitar from a local store. Her biography from the Smithsonian Institution reads, being left-handed, Cotton learned to play the instruments upside down, picking the bass strings with her fingers and treble strings with her thumb. The distinctive style and sound became known as Cotton Style or Cotton Pickin', which has been described as nearly impossible to replicate. Originally performing music just for her family, Cotton first recorded her music for a wider audience when she was in her early 60s, after what the Smithsonian Institution calls a fortunate chance encounter. Cotton began working as a nanny and maid for the famous folk-singing Seeger family, musicologist Charles Seeger, composer Ruth Crawford Seeger, and children Pete, Mike, and Peggy. She met them while working in a department store in Washington, D.C. Mike Seeger eventually helped Cotton record her first LP, which became a highly influential album of the folk revival. Cotton was honored in 1984 as a National Heritage Fellow by the National Endowment for the Arts. She received a Grammy Award in 1985 at the age of 90 for Best Ethnic or Traditional Folk Song Recording and was nominated in the same category the following year. She has also been honored by the Smithsonian Institution as a quote-unquote living treasure. Cotton performed at festivals and concerts, including the Newport Folk Festival, until her death in 1987 at the age of 92. Freight Train Blues, an annual music series in Carrboro, honors Cotton's legacy by featuring roots musicians who are, quote-unquote, steeped in the diverse traditions of music in the Piedmont. The 2022 series begins Friday, May 13th. That's today. The 2022 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony will take place on Saturday, November the 5th, in Los Angeles, California. So how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1954 that Elvis Presley did what? Was it A, was drafted into the Army, B, recorded his hit Hound Dog, C, inhaled a cap on one of his teeth, D, crashed his pink Cadillac, or E, all of the above? That would be a bad day, wouldn't it, overall? Correct answer C, though. He inhaled a cap on one of his teeth on this day back in 1957. He had to be taken to a Los Angeles hospital to have it removed from his lung. According to Elvis Presley, Unseen Archives by Marie Clayton, Elvis did a rehearsal of the famous Jailhouse Rock dance routine with such abandon that he swallowed a temporary crown. It lodged in his lung and had to be removed by surgery. He spent the night at Cedars of Lebanon Hospital. Skylar's 22 in Wattpad.com adds, the doctor at the rehearsal studio put Elvis under and went in with a special instrument to retrieve the cap from Elvis's lung. Apparently, the cap broke into two pieces, and the doctor had to repeat the procedure, but was able to successfully remove the pieces. Upon his arrival at the studio, Colonel Parker became nearly apoplectic after hearing the news of the doctor having to spread Elvis's vocal cords in order to do the procedure, realizing how it could have ended Elvis's singing career had the vocal cords been damaged. And the answer to our second question, which of the following theories have proved helpful in explaining why Stradivarius violins are so good? Is it A, the size of the F-holes on the front of these violins? Is it B, reduced solar activity in the 17th century? Is it C, imperfections in the varnish? Or D, all of the above? Or E, none of the above? Correct answer D, all of the above. Note, the F-holes appear on the front of the violin on either side of the string bridge and are shaped like the italicized letter F. In the past, they've also been called the C or S holes and were shaped accordingly. As noted in a ClassicFM.com article titled, What's So Good About Stradivarius Violins? Over the centuries, the maker's instruments have graced concert stages, museums, private collections, and recording studios. They have been praised for the clarity, richness, and individual character of their sound. But what makes a Strad different? There have been many theories posed over the years. Here's a few of them. The size of the F-holes. A study by academics at MIT have suggested the secret to the Stradivari sound is the size of the F-holes on the front of the violins. The more elongated these holes, the more sound an instrument can produce. Stradivari made the F-holes longer and narrower than in previous instruments. The shape. Stradivari experimented with different shapes for his violins, even making some which were much longer. Varnish. Much has been written about the varnish the great luthier used. Analysis has even come up with the exact recipe. Mixture of oil resin, and in some cases, a red pigment. Beautiful designs. The famous Messiah Strad has an intricate carving on its tailpiece. Okay, so it might not directly contribute to the sound, but it does look amazing. Reduced solar activity in the 17th century. No, really. In a 2003 study, scientists in Columbia and Tennessee said that the colder winters and summers of the 17th century, when Stradivari was working, could have led to slower tree growth. In turn, this would have meant Stradivari and his fellow instrument makers were working with denser wood. A mystery ingredient. There have been suggestions that Stradivari and his fellow Cremona-based instrument makers might have added a mystery ingredient to the wood. They used an even, that they may have used wood from ancient churches, giving their instruments an incredible sound. Good old-fashioned genius. While people debate the exact dimensions, ingredients, and design that helped make a Stradivari violin one of the best, if not the best, in the world, there's one thing we can be sure of. Stradivari was behind it, and he was almost certainly a genius. Imperfections. One study has claimed that Stradivarius violins are far from perfect. In fact, physicist Dr. Franco Zanini argued that what makes a Strad is its tiny imperfections. Dr. Zanini put a number of instruments into a particle accelerator to look beneath the layers of varnish. Speaking to the Telegraph, he said, "We noticed there were a lot of asymmetries in the instruments. In principle, they have no reason to be there. But it is possible these imperfections were made to remove the unpleasant harmonics that you get in symmetrical instruments." And the final ingredient, some of the best players in the world. One of the main reasons Stradivari violins sound amazing is that they are played by the very best musicians in the world. Given this Strad violin background, with the recent celebration of Mother's Day, let's close out today's program with Dvorak's violin composition, Songs My Mother Taught Me. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.